the water off for an hour or two, it'd be fine because she's out of town. Well, I've been without water for 2 days, okay? It's pretty hard to brush your teeth, flush the toilet, or take a shower without any water, all right? And when I finally did get the water going, which I haven't got it fixed yet, I'm only telling this because it's humorous, I decided that I would wash my dirty clothes, and because the well water was all stirred up and it's a little dirty, I would get it out of the system. I throw my clothes in the washer, I get it all started, I go upstairs to do something, and I thought, where's your cell phone? I washed my cell phone, okay? Let me tell you, you don't want to wash your cell phone, all right? I got a dummy phone. It's just a flip phone. I took the battery out. I blew it all out. I put it together this morning to see if it works. My phone has a little flashlight on it. That's the only thing that works. I put the battery in, the flashlight shines, and it doesn't shut off, okay? So I got to take the battery out. We'll see what's going to happen. So that's the escapades that are going on where I'm at. Tomorrow is the 4th of July. It's the Independence Day, okay? We broke our independence from Great Britain or England. And if you think about it, Great Britain's just on the outskirts of the continent of Europe, okay? So we actually broke from Europe and England. And that's a good thing. The United Kingdom right now is having that struggle. They want to break with Europe, okay? And rightfully so, because if you get infected with Europe, you lose your independence. And that's what Britain's doing. They're going to lose their independence. And if you think about it, Europe is the place that brought us the state-run church, okay? Over here, we worship in liberty of Jesus Christ, and our final authority is God's word. We don't have to ask the king or the queen or the pope, okay? That's on the spiritual end of it. On the secular end of it, Europe's always been a socialistic. They're socialism. That's what they've always been. And all the isms come from Europe. Nazism, communism, fascism, totalism. It all comes from Europe. And the powers that be today would like to suck us back into that. And so tomorrow, when we celebrate our independence, pray to God and tell him thanks for the liberty and freedom we have, because we don't know how much longer we're going to have it. We really don't, okay? All right, if you would turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, a familiar verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, it's just you and me up here. And if I get out of the way, it's just you, and that's fine with me. And Lord, we do thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. We pray that your word would ring true, and that we want to thank you for the blessings we have here in this country and the opportunity to worship you freely and the opportunity to freely do what's right. For that we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So, it says, grow in grace and in the knowledge. And that's where I'm going to go with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grace is unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. God gives it to us, but we don't deserve it. And knowledge is nothing unless you add wisdom and understanding to it, spiritual wisdom and understanding. So, all this is given us to us so that we can know how to rightly divide the Word of God, so that we know devotionally how to live, and so that we know... I got it here. Doctrinally, okay? So we know the doctrines and we don't get messed up in them. And devotionally, we know how to live our life here on this earth, at home and in church, in the body of Christ. And so, as I was putting this together, I thought of something about growing. And it kind of reminded me, I don't know, a week or so ago, Kayla Newton was in the stroller, and she was strolling her little girl around, and there was three or four toddlers behind her. And I said, oh, how cool, a baby parade, okay? And then I thought, as I was doing this, I thought, how odd would that be if she was pushing Rick Newton around in that stroller, okay? Big old Rick Newton in the stroller. Or how about all the little girls that play with their dolls after church on Sunday? We're pushing all of us adults around in their strollers, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, okay? Pretty ridiculous, isn't it? But not as ridiculous as it is if we grow physically and don't grow spiritually in the church, okay? And so the point is that we need to grow, and the growth is in knowing. So, if you would, I've got about a dozen verses. I'm not a real preacher, but I don't mind teaching. But when I teach, I'd rather let God teach us than me teach you. Okay, so we'll go to some of these verses. So if you would, in Colossians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is writing this through the Holy Spirit. And as I see it, he lays this out, what I would call devotionally or practically. We're going to look at that, and then we're going to look at what the Apostle John writes, and he does it more devotionally. I mean, doctrinally. So, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it starts out with, for this cause, and the cause is that he just understands that they got saved. For this cause, since the day we heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Knowledge without wisdom and spiritual understanding is nothing. It's just vanity. And so he points out a few things here that the Apostle John also points out. He points out that we might walk worthy of the Lord, okay? Because the Lord is worth everything. He is worthy. There is nothing else worthy but the Lord. And unto all pleasing. And we're going to see that point also. So we walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we have the knowledge, the wisdom, understanding, but he wants us to grow and increase in the knowledge of God. We're going to find out how that works for us and how that works for the Lord. So it says, we'll be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Those things John also talks about. The worthiness of God, the pleasing of God, the glory of God, and the power of God. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saint in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And so we have the power of God and we have the power of darkness, but God is going to receive all the power. And then we'll jump down here to verse 16, and the last part of the sentence says, and all things were created by him and for him. And so this is how the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, lays it out practically for us to grow in knowledge. Now, if you would, let's go over to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Again, a familiar verse. We've heard it before. So these points that Paul brought out in a practical sense, John brings out in a devotional sense. Or a doctrinal sense, I'm sorry. For verse 11 says, thou art worthy. And Paul said that we'll walk worthy. O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For thou hast created all things, and all things were created for thy pleasure. So the more we know about God, the more it pleases him. So we're here to know more and more and more for the doctrinal position of pleasing God, right? We're going to get into the devotional position. But the doctrinal position is pleasing God. I just want to go through a few of these verses here on the glory, the honor, and the power. And if you would, we'll go to John first. John 5:23. and to better understand or know a little bit more what God wants us to know. I know there's a page 5 in here. Okay. It says in John 5:23 that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which sent him. It kind of reminds me of the sign we have out on the marquee sometimes. It says, K-N-O-W, no God, no peace. Or N-O, no God, no peace. If you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. And then he gives us something in verse 24. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. To honor or dishonor God is a matter of life and death, he says. It's a matter of life and death. You either honor God and you live through Jesus Christ or you don't. There is no other name under heaven whereby men may be saved but the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets all the honor. All right, we'll go to the glory. And most of these will be in 1 Corinthians. So while we're there, we'll just stay there, even if I go to another verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's see. Let's start in verse 27. 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of this world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. It does away with all theology or theologians or Bible critics or professors of education. God uses his way to do it, not wisdom of men. And he says in verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. He's going to get all the glory. So he says in verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. God is our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification and he's our redemption. And all four of those things, you could go on and have a whole message on each one of those. But verse 31 says, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Okay? God gets all the credit. We need to know this. He wants us to know this. This is how we're going to grow. All right? He gets all the honor. He gets all the glory. The other doctrinal point is power. And we'll start in 1 Corinthians here also. And we'll go to verse 18. 1 Corinthians verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Okay? God's going to receive all power. And the power comes in the cross. And the cross is the gospel. And the gospel is the word of God. And there's power in that. Paul says this throughout 1 Corinthians here. The next point on power is 24, verse 24. It says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So the word is the power of God. Christ is the power of God. And he wants us to know this so we can grow. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And he says, and my speech and my preaching was not in enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So the Spirit is the power of God. Christ is the power of God. His word is the power of God. And the last one is in 2:5. Chapter 2, verse 5, right underneath 4, it says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith is in the power of God. one of the things that led me to this whole study was I was reading the New King James Bible and trying to compare it to the real King James Bible. And I read the preface, and I read the foreword, and I read the introduction, and it told me how that they were true to the Word of God, and they weren't going to change anything, and that it was only for clarity, yada, yada. And so a verse came to my mind. It said, 1 John, or John 1, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? I thought, okay, let's go there. So I opened up the New King James Bible, and I went to John chapter 1, verse 1, and guess what? It said the same thing. And so did verse 2, and verse 3, and verse 4. And I got up to 11 verses, and they were all the same. But we never made it through 12 verses, okay? Because the 12th verse in John says, "But as many as received him, received the power of God to be the sons of God," okay? I may not have said it exactly, but that's, and they put that they had the right to go to heaven. They had the right, not the power. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. I don't have any rights. There is none righteous, no, not one. I don't have the right to go to heaven. I got the power of God to go to heaven because the power is in Jesus Christ. All right? And God wants us to know this, so we don't get in a doctrinal mix-up and get all mixed up in our doctrine and how we want to live our life and please God, because that's the point here, to please God. So, and the last point is God is omnipotent, right? We say he's omniscient and he's omnipresent and he's omnipotent is the word, actually, or omnipotent. I call it that way in the class, and the kids all laugh at me when I teach. But it's omnipotent, which means it's all-powerful. And God did all this because he said he created all things for his pleasure. He created it to be honored, to be glorified, and to receive all power for his pleasure. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to please God by knowing these things doctrinally and then devotionally. Let's go. We're right in Corinthians. Let's stay in Corinthians. Let's just flip over to page, chapter 1, verse 4. Paul's praying again. He prays and says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that in everything," I'll say it again, "that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and knowledge." He wants us to grow. Paul's praying for it, that we're enriched in everything. I don't want to cut God short on this. A lot of people think that that's just spiritually enriched, and it is. But it's everything that we have in this life enriches us. And we need to know that, and we need to grow. So he says in verse 6, "Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you," let me ask you a question. How many of you are a sinner saved by grace? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you know you're going to heaven because you believe Jesus Christ? Guess what? The testimony of Jesus Christ is confirmed in you. You just raise your hand and alluded to it, okay? And he says here that even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, you're going to know the utterance and the knowledge that God wants you to know. He's going to confirm it in you. Verse 7 says, and this is the point, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's gifts to be given here on earth, okay? And it says here, in everything. Jesus Christ gave his testimony. I'd like to give mine for a minute. Pastor asked the other night if anybody had a testimony, and I didn't. And I thought, I want to. Well, maybe now's the time. Before I got saved, I was a vile and corrupt creature, totally vile and corrupt. And the Lord Jesus Christ picked me up out of the miry clay, and he set me on a rock. And that rock is Jesus, okay? Now, I carried the mire around for me a little bit. You know, it was hard to get it off. But in all of that, God enriched me in everything I have. Everything. He changed my whole life around. He made me something that I wasn't and nothing that I would have been. I wouldn't have done it myself. He did it for me. I give him the credit, the glory. He wants us to know it. But he also says there are gifts. So we won't go there, but I'll say it. I'll read it actually in Romans chapter 1. I'll quickly go through here. The Apostle Paul says something similar. He says in verse 11, he said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." There's a lot of emphasis placed on the spiritual gifts of healings or miracles or the speaking of tongues. But there's a lot of other gifts here that we can have and God wants us to have by knowing and growing and pleasing God. So let's go there. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll close out here. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 7. "But unto every one of us is given grace." That's the grace that we grow by. It's the grace of salvation, and it's the grace of growth. "According to the measure of the gift of Christ." Okay? It's a gift. Grace is. "Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men." And this is talking about when he died on the cross, went to hell, and when he arose and went to heaven. And verse 9 and 10 are in parentheses, and it emphasizes that, but I want to finish this verse over here as it goes in verse 11. And it said, "And he gave some apostles." That's a gift. "And he gave some prophets." That's a gift. "And some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers." That's the church. He gave us the church, okay? And the church is a gift. And he did it for this reason. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Oh, that's why we come to church. That's why we're here. So we can be perfected. We can be increased in our knowledge and understanding and the grace that God wants us to give us. He wants to give us these gifts. He's got them. I imagine sometimes in a picture heaven full of gifts. And, God, and they're already there. God already got them. He got them already wrapped. Got our name on them. And he wants to give them to us, and we won't come and get them. He has these gifts. They're there for us. And when we know and understand and take the grace of God and learn more about him, he can give them to us. But we got to work at it. We got to get them. We got to do what God says. We got to be perfected. And we got to work in the ministry. If you're not working in the ministry, maybe you should think about it. Maybe you should pray on it and ask God if he'd want you to do anything. I never, ever in my life thought that I would be standing up here talking to anybody about anything. Okay? God enriched me in that. I don't deserve it. I don't even know if I'm doing a good job. But if God asked me to do it, I'm going to do what I can. She did what she could when she anointed Jesus Christ with the ointment. Okay? I'll do what I can. So these things are for the church, and they're perfecting of the saints, edifying of the body. Sometimes it saddens me to think of this because I wonder if there's a Sunday night service in heaven. Of course, I'm just being facetious. Or if there's a Thursday night midweek service in heaven. I thought, oh, what if nobody comes? What if nobody comes on Thursday night or Sunday night? And God has all these gifts. He wants us to be faithful, know this, and go through it and do it. So here's what it says in verse 13. All of this, the gifts, till we come into the unity of the faith. Like you, brother, I don't know English very well, but it looks to me like it says till we all come in the unity of the faith. Until we all come in the unity of the knowledge of the Son. Until we all come in the unity of a perfect man. Ooh. Until we all come in the unity of the measure, of the stature, of the fullness of Christ. He wants us to be more like Christ. all of this knowledge, all that we know, all that we read and do and come to church for, is also that we can know God more. He can give us more gifts. We can know Him more. We can be more like Christ. And in the end, it pleases Him. It pleases God. That's what we're here for, to please God. To know what we know, to do what we can do, and be more like Christ, and please God. And that's the whole point of this message. And that's it. If you don't know Christ, I encourage you to do that. If you do know Christ, I encourage you to seek Him more like silver and gold. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And God will give us all the other things we need here in this life. All right? I'll close in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your holy word. We thank You for whatever understanding You give us. And Lord, we pray that You get all the glory, all the honor, and all the power. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay.